Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
So we're doing our summer series, where we have somewhat shortened messages. And as you saw in the intro video, it's about living skillfully. And I challenged everyone last week to start to read like a proverb a day from the book of Proverbs and kind of mull it over and tear it apart and put it back together and see how we can apply this wisdom to our lives so that we can live skillfully in North America in the 21st century. Today, I want to do a little bit of almost like a case study, sort of walk through what this process might look like. And I'm taking Proverbs 16, verse 3 on this. We do have message notes on crosslands.live. There's a box on that site. If you go to that on your smart device or whatever, there's a box that says Sunday message, and there's application questions. How do I kind of flesh this out on a Monday to Saturday and sort of apply this? And then if we have time at the end, which we may, we'll deal with text messages. If you have a comment or question that's relevant to the message today, my number's at the top of the screen, and we'll entertain those. So I want to start just by reading it. Proverbs 16, verse 3. It says in this translation, I'm reading the New Living Translation, it says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. How many people here have plans? Most. How many people have plans that you want to succeed? Okay, most again. How many people here have plans that you don't want to succeed? Okay, good. I'm glad I didn't see any hands. This verse seems deceptively simple, right? Sounded like kind of like give your plans to God and he'll make them succeed. And, you know, this way we get what we want. I wonder how that, as I was thinking about this, you know, sort of mulling it over, and what happens if somebody has illegitimate plans? What if you have a plan to achieve world domination at the expense of everyone else? You give that to God and it'll succeed. What if you're planning revenge on someone? Because people do that. What if you're planning on cheating on your marriage? Does God promise that those plans will succeed? See, when you start looking at a proverb like this and you go, like, it might not be as simple as you think. So, I was the service was about to start. Like, it was just about to start. And Michelle walked up. And we have a wedding to go to this afternoon. And she said, do you plan on wearing that shirt to the wedding? Well, apparently not. Why have plans at all? Why do we plan anything? Well, we're moving forward. I don't know. We are all, I don't know. Have you ever met a time traveler? Okay, don't be so quick. Everybody here is traveling through time at about 60 seconds a minute. Right? We're all traveling forward in time into an unknown future, and we travel into an unknown future where sometimes we the future is, because it's unknown, we're in a universe that can be hostile towards us, we're in a setting that can be hostile, we're certainly in a society that's changing all the time, and if you don't have any plans, you will fall behind, and you could literally find yourself living on the street with nothing to eat, no plans, just kind of going. What we do is, as human beings is we project a mental model of what the future could be or what we want it to be, and then we expend our effort and energy into getting to where we want to be. That's what planning is, basically. We have this sort of model so that we can survive in the future and hopefully do better than survive so we can thrive. We can do better than just barely exist. And so when we do this, and we do it consciously and subconsciously, we bring to that conception all of our hopes, all of our confidence, such as whatever confidence we have, and all kinds of fears, some of them conflicting. Because sometimes we fear failure, sometimes we fear a loss of status, but sometimes we also fear trying something and not achieving it, or we fear the loss of status from not achieving anything at all. And so all these things kind of bundle together as we fear exposing our vulnerability or being just completely meaningless and useless in the world. There was quite a few years ago when I was out west, a friend of mine from BC went to visit my old pastor. And my old pastor was from Toronto, but he had moved out west as well. So we were living in Mission, BC. He was in Richmond. It was about, I don't know, an hour and a half away. So we drove to his church. We went to the church service, and he invited us over for lunch afterwards. And my friend was a real, like, BC type, pretty relaxed, right? And so my pastor started grilling him. He says, "What are your plans for the future?" And he says, "Well, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm going to Bible college or something." And he says, "Well, you have to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, how are you going to know where you're going to go?" And my thought, I'm watching this going, I'm going, I really hope he doesn't ask me. Because my experience was anytime I made plans, they hit up against the wall and got changed. And I saw God's leading in that, right? So my plans didn't work, and God would adjust my path. So I didn't want him to ask me at all, because my plan was just, okay, I guess I'm just going to follow Jesus day to day and kind of see what happens. And people that are really plan and goal-oriented, they're not really impressed by that. So what if you have a plan and it doesn't succeed? You know what's worse than having a plan that doesn't succeed is having the wrong plan and having it succeed. That's the plan of me going to the wedding wearing this shirt, apparently. So the difficulty is that when we have, when we plan things, we expect a certain reward, but sometimes the right plans that get the right rewards, those rewards aren't immediate. It takes time. And sometimes when you do the wrong things, you get a more immediate rewards, right? So in a difficult social setting, you can achieve a certain amount of recognition or status by putting somebody else down, and you get immediate reward, right? I feel better, they feel stupid, and I look better in this social setting. But in the long run, that can really, really backfire. So the short-term gains sometimes in the long run are really, really bad. So having the right plans is really essential. So commit your actions to the Lord, your plans will succeed. Well, now we're a bit stuck. So what I want to do is take a further look at this. Okay, so if I was looking at this at Proverb at home, and I kind of got stuck up to, well, if I really just adopt this wholesale at first glance, it's starting to not make sense. So I would read it again prayerfully and carefully and ask the question, what does this mean? What is it saying? How do we apply it? When I read it carefully, which I didn't do the first time I read it, I'll be honest, it doesn't say commit your plans to the Lord. It says commit your actions to the Lord. Well, that's different. There was a study that was done on how we shake hands. It was quite a few years ago, and it was in a North American 21st century culture. And what they realized is they would measure people's reaction times when somebody would stick their hand out and the person would go to shake their hand. Their reaction was quicker, was more immediate than the time it takes for your brain to see the extended hand, process a decision, and send a response through your nervous system to your hand to raise the muscle. And it was almost like your hand is raising up before you even processed it. Before you even decide to shake the hand, your hand has decided by itself to shake the hand. What they would notice is that when somebody didn't want to shake somebody's hand, they put this hand in front of them, and their hand would move, and then they would pull it back. The hand was moving before they recognized it. And then they would decide not to shake the hand. The automatic response is to shake the hand. We've been conditioned in our culture, when a hand is stuck in front of you, you shake the hand. And that's one example of a million areas in which we are conditioned to act without thinking. This is the power of habit, because our action precedes our thought. And you may go, well, no, it doesn't. It does. Because babies are learning to respond to their environment by action before they're cognitively processing it. So it happens in two ways. It happens in the grand scheme of our life. We learn to embody action before we learn to think about the action, and we also do it in the day-to-day habits where we act without thinking about it. When's the last time you thought about brushing your teeth? Well, you just do it. When's the last time you decided to put on a seatbelt? You don't. You just do it. We're conditioned to behave in certain ways. And those aren't bad things. I'm not telling you to stop brushing your teeth, please, right? Action precedes thought. There's a field of psychology, behaviorism, and one of the really, really old behaviorists, William James, said this. It's not that we lose our fortune, our sorry, and weep. We meet a bear, are frightened and run. We're insulted by a rival and angry and strike. But really, he argued, this order of sequence is incorrect. The more rational statement is that we feel sorry because we cry. Angry because we strike. Afraid because we tremble. There's a concept in psychology is that the action precedes the feeling and the decision. What's interesting is that the Bible said this centuries and centuries ago. When the Bible said your treasure follows your heart follows your treasure. Where your treasure is, where you decide to invest, that's where your emotions follow. What you do informs how you feel, what you believe. Well, all of a sudden, this proverb makes a little bit more sense. So I decided to go from that further look to a deeper look. And here's something, there are all kinds of tools available to us. So what I did is I looked at different translations, and I looked at online commentaries. This is, you know, Google's my friend. So in your mulling over Proverbs, it's really simple to do. And I found out that the word actions there, in many other translations, is translated works, which seems like different. Like, what does that mean, works? And it's all the implication is that these are your habitual accent, your habitual accent, actions, speech problems. So the actions, the works that you do on a day-to-day, minute-to-minute basis, how you live, your actions. And our actions precede our thoughts. Your habits, your daily habits, if you commit those to God, well, we'll deal with the rest later. 2014, there was a commencement address at the University of Texas, and there was one of their alumni, Admiral William H. McRaven, did this speech, and he was he's an admiral in the Navy, and he'd gone through the Navy SEAL program, and he talked about some of the lessons he learned from the Navy SEALs, and he outlined a few principles and how do you apply them to these graduates and how to change the world and the whole bit. And his first thing was, make your bed in the morning. That was his first advice to university graduates. Make your bed. And he said this, because if you make that action a disciplined action, it's not something you feel like doing, but the very first thing you do in the morning is you do something that sets the tone for the rest of the day. You achieve success in a really small area. And that speech became so popular, he actually wrote a book that outlined that and all the rest of his speech. And I believe the book is called Make Your Bed. The point that I'm telling you today isn't make your bed. The point is that when you commit your actions to God, that all the good stuff follows. And the word for commit there, it's an interesting word because I looked this up in the commentaries. The implication is that you roll it over onto God. All my actions, we're going to roll over into God's actions. It's almost like the burden of deciding our actions can be too heavy, so we choose God's actions. It reminds me of that verse in the New Testament that says, cast your cares, like throw your cares upon God because he cares for you. The word for plans, so commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. That word isn't just the things you plan, but it's also translated to thoughts, almost like your underlying motives. And the challenge with underlying motives is we don't always know what they are because they can be subconscious. So how do you control your basic thoughts that govern your life? You ever find yourself doing something different than you planned? Oh, I have an exam tomorrow. I'm going to study. Oh, I just spent 4 hours playing video games. Right? Who's making that decision? You had an intention to study. You ended up doing something else. My plan is to clean the house today. Oh, I just watched all of the third season of Stranger Things. Oops. Right? So, how much in control are we? But this proverb says that if you roll over all of your actions to be God's actions, then your underlying thoughts and even your subconscious plans, God will make them happen because he redefines, he reprograms what we intend and what we end up accomplishing so that one day we don't turn around and go, I achieved my plan, but it was the wrong plan. Commit your actions to him. What does that mean? I mean, what Richard said this morning is almost a case study for that. We're doing the things, and one day we go, you know what? I'm following Jesus. What are the actions of following Jesus? Well, prayer. Worshipfully meeting with God. In fact, my recommendation, instead of making your bed, or before making your bed in the morning, I don't make my bed, but before you make your bed, meet with God in prayer. That's an action that will define the progress of the rest of the day. Absorbing scripture, I say absorbing, not just reading, skimming over, absorb scripture, and because God speaks in that, and in that you learn to recognize his voice when he's speaking when you're not reading. That's an action that we can take. Sharing your faith. You ever find yourself stagnant in following Jesus? One of the reasons that happens is because we don't share our faith. So we're not moving forward. That's enacting the kingdom, making God's kingdom come to fruition. Other areas, generosity, hospitality, active love. Jesus told us to love our neighbor and our enemy, and sometimes they're the same person. He says, you know, everybody in the world loves the people that love them. We love our family, we love our friends. He says, go above and beyond, love your neighbor and love your enemy. And that's not about how you feel, okay? I don't want you to mistake that. It's an action. Acting in somebody else's best interest. That's one of the best definitions I've ever heard. See, because when you act, the feeling falls behind it. Commit your actions. Commit your plans. We face an infinite, unknown, sometimes threatening future. We don't know the future. And the burden of that can be overwhelming. The biggest purposes for your life can line up properly. God can make those plans happen when we commit our actions to them, our regular acts, our habits. And that changes the way we think and plan. Are you concerned for your future? At some level, when you think about it, most people are. Align your actions with God's actions. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. See how much there is packed in that one little proverb. So where are you in your journey? Maybe you're like Richard used to be, and you're going, you know what, I'm doing this, I'm coming. And maybe you find yourself beginning to follow Jesus, but you never made that commitment. I want to give you the opportunity. In fact, I'm going to ask that everybody would stand now, wake you up a little bit. You have the opportunity to follow Jesus, and here's how you do it. I say this every week. It's as simple as ABC. Admit your need for God. There is a future available for you that goes beyond what you can imagine or think or plan. Admit that God has a better future. Believe or trust or commit or give allegiance to God that he understand or put your trust in him that he has that future for you. That's made possible through Jesus' death and resurrection. The whole following Jesus is following in that path of death and resurrection that we die to ourselves and live to a whole new life, and that leads to C, commit to the new life. A, admit. B, believe. C, commit. Turn your back on your old life and step into this whole new life. You live that out by following Jesus, by those actions, by committing to a community of followers of Jesus. And I believe we have a great one here. There's a whole bunch of other great ones in town as well, Bible-believing churches. But there's also, I think you need to make a mark on the calendar. The easiest way, best way to do it is to tell somebody, I have decided to become a follower of Jesus today. There's an accountability in that. There's a change in that. And so you can talk to one of the pastors here. You can talk to a friend that brought you. You can talk to somebody at the information desk. You can connect on crosslands.live, and there's a follow Jesus box. And check the box, give us your contact info, and we can help you in the beginning of a whole new spiritual journey. And the second thing I want to do, just highlight, because we have all kinds of, there are different next steps that we want to highlight here at Crossland Church. The next one is the opportunity to be baptized. And that's a public declaration of following Jesus. And we do a baptism service whenever we have enough people that want to be baptized. And so we're starting to collect names. If we have enough, then I'd love to see a baptism service happen this fall. So again, if this is something that you want to do, you could talk to one of the pastors. On crosslands.live, there's a be baptized. Check the box so that we put your name on the list. If we have enough, we'll do that because we're starting to collect those candidates. It's 11 o'clock. I have one text message. Okay, I'm not sure if I'm exactly reading this right. If you admit bad actions to the Lord, will they still succeed? I think the action, so the actions that I they laid out prayer, scripture, sharing faith, generosity, hospitality, actively showing love to other people. If you're doing those things, they're not bad. If we always have impure motives. Our job is not to purify our motives ahead of time. Our job is to submit ourselves to God, and God will deal with the motives. And so it's less about what you think and feel than what you're doing in following Jesus. And I have the wrong phone number up there. I don't now. I did. Okay, I'm going to have to correct that for next week. Remind me this week to fix the phone number. Okay, we're going to close in prayer. I want to continue to challenge you today to read a Proverbs a day. Read a proverb a day from the book of Proverbs. But I've given you a model. So read it. Take a quick look at it. Take a further look at it and go, okay, what is this really saying? Read it carefully and prayerfully, and then look at some of the tools that are available. Look at different translations. You don't have to buy a whole bunch of translations. Just go to BibleGateway.com or YouVersion.com, I think is the other one. You can and do some comparisons. How is it translated different ways? And what I did for this one is I Googled Proverbs 16, verse 3, commentary. And you can see what people are writing about the original language and so on. And if you know what, honestly, if you have any questions, if you have any difficulties with some of the Proverbs that you're reading, you can always email the office. We'd love to have those conversations with you. We'd love to have people help people get deeper into God's word, into scripture, and applying that to their life. But the other thing is this. What action is God calling you, a following Jesus' action, is he calling you to make into a habit starting today? There's the real trick. What out of those list of things that I said, did one jump out and you go, oh, you know what, I'm not really doing that. How will you turn that action into a daily habit? That in following Jesus, God adjusts our heart so that our plans become his plans and they will succeed because God's plans don't fail. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much that you call us to live a life that succeeds. Father, I pray that in our own conscious and unconscious plans and desires and pursuits, that you would adjust our intentions so that they become your intentions. Father, I ask that that you would give us the desire and the discipline to implement those habits in our life which draws closer to you, which move us forward towards Christ-like maturity, and which bring other people along with us in that. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.